Great, thanks. I think we should go ahead and get started. This is Alyssa. What you're looking at here is our agenda for call number 20. Thank you, everyone, for joining. The first agenda item is the combined proposal assessment. I expect the bulk of the call should be dedicated to that, or at least the first half. Who knows how long it might take. And then we have some other agenda items that, if we have time, we can turn to the ICG report and the combined proposal, the public comment period duration, the public comment website material, and then review of upcoming commitments and schedule and minutes approval. We will reserve a little bit of time at the end of the call, regardless of how agenda item number one goes, to talk about upcoming commitments and schedule and next steps and so forth. But the middle items might run out of time. We'll see. Any comments on the agenda or other agenda items that people would like to add? Oh, I guess I should have said, I was going to say please raise your hand in Adobe Connect, but I guess I should ask first if we have anyone besides Keith, Drazik, and Joe who are on the phone bridge but not in Adobe Connect. Nope. Okay. And any comments on the agenda? Jean-Jacques, go ahead.
Thank you. In anticipation of the point, which is to approve the minutes, I'll just have a word to say when we come to item number 6. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right, then I think we should move on to item number 1, and if we could get the matrix projected, Jennifer, of the which summarizes the combined proposal assessment. Huge thanks to everyone who did a combined proposal assessment. We've been coming in over the last couple of days, and we really appreciate all the time that people have put into looking across the three proposals and thinking about how they work together in a combined fashion. And also huge thanks to the Secretariat for taking those assessment points and summarizing them into this matrix that was just circulated probably less than an hour ago on the mailing list. So there isn't any new content in this matrix. It just takes the points that were made in the separate combined proposal assessments from different people and puts them in one document so that we had something to look at while we were on this call. We can certainly project individual assessments from individual people if that's warranted. So just a few words from me, and then we'll open it up for discussion of the combined proposal. I think there's a bunch of issues that have been raised in the assessment process. I counted about 5 or 6 substantive issues that I think are kind of common across many of the proposal assessments. I think for each of the issues that we discuss, we should keep in mind, as a means to drive towards a conclusion of the assessment, what options we have as far as disposing of various issues that come up. I think we essentially have 3 options for any issue. We can send a question or a request back to one or more of the communities if we think we need clarification, more information, if we think there's something missing or that they need to work on. That's the first option. We can highlight the issue in the ICG report section of the proposal. We can summarize what our assessment is, and if we do that, we could also ask for public comment about the issue specifically, and we can also decide that we're going to reevaluate the issue at a future time because there's other ongoing work that we will want to incorporate, but that isn't complete yet. So I think that's kind of the second option, is that we write down our assessment of the issue and then maybe ask for the public to comment on it. And then the third option is that we do nothing. You know, if we discuss an issue and we think it's has been completed, then that's our third option. So just want people to keep those in mind as we go through some of these substantive issues, to be thinking about, well, you know, how are we going to conclude, and what is the next step going to be from our discussion. So with that, I think we should start on the topic of compatibility and interoperability. I think in general, people felt that the proposals were mostly compatible, but there were some issues that were raised in the assessment process. The first one that you can see here on the screen has to do with the IANA trademark and domain name issue. And since that was raised by so many of the assessments, I think we should start with it. Also because I think there's, you know, we've talked about this a lot and just wanted to bring everyone up to speed on the status of what has gone on with this topic. So as everyone knows, two of the proposals are essentially silent on the topic of who will own the IANA trademarks and domain name post-transition. One of them is not. So the numbers proposal says that the IANA functions operator for numbers should not hold the trademarks and domain name, and suggests that they be moved to an entity that is not the IANA functions operator, and suggests that that be moved to the IETF trust. The IETF trust has said that they are willing to accept that responsibility, and the IETF community has said that they are okay with that outcome. The CWG has not stated a consensus position on this topic. The CWG is currently consulting with their independent legal counsel to determine how many hours it would take the legal counsel to do an investigation for them about this issue, and specifically to investigate a few different potential models for the IANA IPR, namely if it stayed with ICANN, if it went to PTI, or if it went to a trust, perhaps the ICF trust. And there's no, as I just checked an hour ago, there was no answer yet from their legal counsel about how many hours it would take them to do that investigation. So that's kind of the current state of play as regards to that topic. And at this point, I'd like to open the floor for folks who want to speak specifically to this issue, perhaps people who did their assessments, if you want to comment on this topic and your views on it based on having done those assessments, or anyone else who has a thought about this topic. So let's start with that one. Thanks. Are people able to raise their hands in Adobe Connect? Because I don't see any hands raised. Ah, okay. Yari, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I don't know if there's much to be said. I'm actually quite happy with the kinds of statements that are being put forward in the combined report about this topic. I sent half an hour ago a slight modification to version 4 that says, that adds basically this little paragraph that says that the numbers proposal is the only one of the three proposals that formally specifies requirements. So as long as the other two committees can accommodate specified requirements as part of their implementation, then the proposals are compatible. I think we request that the operational committees continue to coordinate on this topic during the implementation phase to ensure that the requirements are met. So this is kind of taking the approach that whatever was said in the proposal is a key thing, and we try to accommodate that. Even during the implementation. And that would let us move forward and be reasonable and logical.
Thank you, Yari. Joe is next.
Thank you, Joe Alida. Let me try picking up and see if that addresses the echo. No, it doesn't. For me, the question is less the proposal of the IETF holding and just more a question of if the other communities find the same solution to be acceptable. Because I don't think it's clear necessarily what that is. So perhaps one of the things we do is put forward the fact that there is a suggestion with a specific solution on the ground. Are all communities consistent in their view of this as a resolution? It still has an external dependency of having the transfer happen, because I think we resolved the question of timing related to IPR, but not necessarily the specific ownership. Use seems to be something that everyone agrees on, that yes, it should be able to be used. So, perhaps there's a clarification we can ask to the communities to just move it forward as a consensus piece, as opposed to saying, absent something being raised, this is the default because one community has already made a specific request.
Thanks, Joe. I guess that's essentially what we are waiting to find out right now from the CWG. That's my take anyway, is that if the CWG comes back from its process that it may decide to engage in with its independent counsel, and they say the proposal from the numbers community is fine with us, then that's the solution, I think. If they say something different, then there is a issue that the communities have to work out, because then there will be two different opinions about what should happen to one thing. That's basically where we are, is that we are waiting to find out if the CWG position is consistent with what the numbers community has put forward or not. I don't think we need to ask again, because that's exactly what we're waiting to find out right now. So it looks like next in the queue I have Caboose.
Excuse me, I missed the first 3 minutes because I was dialed late. This is point one. Could you repeat what we are talking about? And second, is it possible that people kindly speak a little bit slowly, separating syllabus one from the other, not too fast? We are not English-spoken people. I'm very sorry. Too fast. The line is not good, and I don't understand quite clearly, unfortunately, contrary to the physical meeting, that I have no difficulty. So first, what we are talking about, waiting for CWG to do what? Few hours to do what? I don't follow the situation. Could it be possible to repeat if impossible? Don't do it.
Sure, Caboose, no problem. So the topic that we are talking about has to do with the IANA trademarks and the IANA.org domain name. And
yes.
The situation at present is that the CWG has inquired with their independent counsel about whether their counsel how many hours it would take their independent counsel to conduct an investigation for them about a number of different options for who will hold the trademarks and the domain name in the future, namely whether they will be held by ICANN, by the PTI, or by an independent trust, perhaps the IETF trust. So that's what all of us and the communities are waiting on right now to in order to be able to resolve this issue, because the CWG doesn't have a consensus position about what they think should happen to the trademarks and the domain name. And what I see actually now in the chat from Russ Mundy, which is, I think, a reasonable question, is if we have asked the CWG if they agree with the numbers approach, which we have not done, and we could do, what we asked was about whether the proposals themselves were compatible. I think we all agree that the proposals are compatible because two of them say nothing and one of them says something, but that's a different question from whether at implementation time, we expect the numbers proposal to be implemented. And I think the CWG wants to form an opinion about that before it gets implemented.
Thank you.
So all three of the hands that were up before are still up. I don't know if any of you is intending to be back in the queue or not. Joe, your hand is still up. Go ahead.
Mine was new. Yeah, thanks. Alyssa, I guess my question was, I may be misunderstanding or I don't understand the timing of the message that Paul sent. Because Paul, just before at 12:10 East Coast time, sent out a note of the CWG CRISP IANA plan call, which highlighted an element that it didn't seem like the lawyers were formally asked yet.
So that meeting, the minutes that Paul circulated were for a meeting that occurred before the CWG put the request into their lawyers.
Okay.
So that was from a meeting on July 7, and then on July 8, the CWG met and decided they were going to ask their lawyers, and on, I think, the 14th, they asked their lawyers. So that's the
right.
order
so
of
I
events.
Guess, so just in terms of the order of events, they've now formally asked the lawyers. The lawyers are coming back with how much time it's going to take them or with the formal opinion?
I believe the lawyers
like the
are coming back,
was,
right. Yeah, the lawyers are coming back with how much time. I think the CWG and anybody who's more in tune with the CWG than I am can speak to this, but I joined their call last week. The CWG is trying to be cognizant of their budget for their independent counsel. So that's why the first question is how many hours will this take, and then they have to decide if they are willing to spend the money to have those hours clocked for this purpose. So that's, I believe, why the question was asked how many hours and not, you know, please go do this right away, because they need the budget estimate before they're going to decide what to do. That's my understanding.
Okay, so the time frame for this potential process is still a little bit of an unknown.
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
and, but
for clarification.
Yes. So, and just to highlight one of the points that Yari made is that right now we have text in the ICG report that essentially provides a summary of the current situation, and you know, we can add more text if we need to, but sort of acknowledges that the numbers proposal is the one that provides concrete details about this, and that the position of the CWG is pending. And that's we can leave it at that, and you know, go forward to public comment. And I would imagine that there will be a lot more information. I hope there will certainly be a CWG position and perhaps even a resolution to the issue by the time the public comment period is done. Manal, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. Just to ask, do we know if there was the fallback scenario if the legal response comes exceeding the budget or requiring so many hours?
I do not know. That was not discussed on the call last week, as far as I can recall. Joe, are you in the queue again?
Nope. I'll take myself out.
Okay. Yari, go ahead.
Yes, hopefully you can hear me better this time. So I just wanted to make the comment that I think the communities need to make a decision on what their requirements are rather than be directed by number of billable hours from the lawyers. I also wanted to make a comment on this backup plan. And, I mean, obviously there's multiple parties involved here. And ultimately, at some point, it's going to be a situation where I think from our side, we'll come up with some proposals unless something else comes up first. But I think I would characterize RIR document of having requirements for a particular arrangement, not the details of that arrangement. So the details still need to be worked out. But that's the implementation.
Thanks, Yari. Kavus?
My question is that, is it an urgent question that we have to continue discuss that, talking about how many hours? I think we raised the question. That's okay. Leave it and go to the next item. And then in the meantime, between now and sometimes later, we will find that. It is not a way that we, at this moment, we have an exact reply that 6 hours or 10 hours or 20 hours or $20,000 is the cost. It is not so urgent that we reply to that. We raise it. And that's all. We go to the next item because we have many people waiting for this call and we have 1.5 hours with so many agenda items. So let's take a second item. Thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. I agree. I think we're all roughly aligned on this, and we have text in the report about it, and that can be the resolution for this one. So let's scroll down to the next set of issues. Oh, I guess we have independent scroll control. So the next set of issues raised in the compatibility portion of the assessments have to do with the PTI. And in particular, I think the first one that's worth mentioning is this question that Milton raised and also I think came about in Norell's assessment, which has to do with the fact that the expectation is that all of the IANA personnel and resources for all three of the functions will move to the PTI. And I think, you know, the point that Milton made was that it should be made clear that this is the case, that it's not just the names, but that it's the full staff and resources for all the functions. And then the question that and the issue that Norell raised is that, you know, the arrangements for this are to be worked out. So it's not necessarily that they're incompatible, but there's more that needs to be done. That was kind of my reading of those points. So the question here is, do we have anything to say? Is there anything that needs to be clarified? Are there questions that we want to send back to the community on this topic? Would certainly appreciate thoughts from Norell or Milton if you're on the call or from anyone else on this issue of the PTI covering all of the functions. Kavus, go ahead.
I think the question was partly answered in the CWG output, and it's mentioned that all staff will be moved to the PTI, and then it mentioned that whether the two communities, IETF and numbering, they want to have separate contract with ICANN or separate contract with PTI with respect to their activities related. So it is up to them and up to us to discuss that, which is the situation. So we cannot divide the staff in three parts, main part going for PTI, one part remain for IETF, one part remain for the numbering under the ICANN. We have to discuss whether IETF and numbering, they want to have a separate contract with ICANN with respect to the activities that required as far as the personnel is concerned, or they want to have a separate contract with PTI. So these two, community with ICANN or with PTI. So that is the question that we have to answer. Thank you.
Thank you. So just to be clear, Kavus, do you think that there's more detail that needs to be elaborated about the situation, or do you think that the proposal as it stands is already clear about this?
It's not clear because CWG asked that, he said the following, at this moment it is not clear whether the two other community would like to have separate contracts with ICANN or they want to have separate contract with PTI. So that is up to us, ICG, to investigate with the two communities, apart from naming, whether they want to have separate contract with ICANN or separate contract with PTI. Which of these more comfortable for them? Maybe, presumably, with any of them. I don't know. I can't say anything. It's up to the IETF and up to the rear to define which way they prefer. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Alan.
Thanks, Alan Barrett. I think the proposal from the numbers community was quite clear that they intend to contract with ICANN, and I'm pretty sure they've also made statements subsequent to the submission to the ICG in January that they enter contract with ICANN rather than with the PTI. And if ICANN wants to subcontract to the PTI, then I believe the numbers community has no problem with that. And I can't speak for the IETF, but I think I've heard similar things from their side.
Thank you, Alan. Do you think this is something that we should highlight in the combined proposal, or do you think it's – because I am aware of those statements as well, but they are – I'm certainly aware of the content of the proposal, but the specific question about, subcontracting to the PTI clearly is not addressed in the contents of the numbers proposal because it was written before the notion of the PTI was developed. So is it something that you think the ICG should craft some text about in the opening of the proposal, or do you think it's already clear?
If you put it that way, I think the ICG should craft some text about it to explain how we intend to put it all together in a compatible way. And perhaps it would even be helpful for the ICG to ask questions of the communities, to write to the team and the IETF IANA plan group and ask them whether they intend to contract with PTI.
Okay, thank you. Russ Mundy, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. Russ Mundy here. I guess I am a little confused as to that there is an overlap or an inconsistency or a lack of clarity in terms of this, the particular point of an organizational structure being divided to create the PTI and having contracts with the parent organization to accomplish the work that needs to be done, since that set of agreements needs to exist between the parent corporation of ICANN and PTI anyway. So I guess that I don't see this as a point of confusion or incompatibility, perhaps a lack of clarity, but I don't see it in any way inconsistent because all three operational communities, if in fact numbers and protocols still contracted with ICANN, then ICANN has to write the contract to the PCI. So I guess I'm confused as to why this is a problem space other than maybe seeking clarity.
Okay, thank you, Russ. Russ Housley.
Write one contract or three contracts, because I think that the naming community will obviously have a contract from ICANN to PTI, and will it have one contract with three parts, or will they then take the results of the MOUs with the IETF and the RIR community and pass those down as subsections of one contract or a separate contracts? I don't think we care. I think the results are the same in terms of the ability to get the job done. So I just think that's something to be sorted out during implementation. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ. And I'll ask you the same question. Do you think as it stands the proposal is clear about the course of action, or do you think there are either words that the ICG should craft or that we should get from the communities to make it clear what the expectation is as far as what will happen?
I think the expectations are clear enough, whether they write three contracts or one contract with three subparts, I don't think really affects the way forward that much.
Okay, thank you. Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, Alisa. The question is not as clear as Ross Huslis mentioned for the following reasons. In the CCWG accountability, based on CWG request, we are discussing the freeze or veto of the budget of PTI. If the budget of PTI relates also to those staff who are doing work for IETF actions or work or for the real works, that freeze of budget may have some implications on them. Perhaps we should raise the questions in a clear manner that, one, in CWG, it is mentioned that it is not clear at this stage whether these two communities want to have separate contract with ICANN or separate contract with PTI. One. Two, due to the fact that the budget of the PTI is goes on the IPR and under the veto community, which any action on that might indirectly have impact on the activities of IETF, and on the rear, perhaps we should raise the questions formally to the two communities, which of these two options they will opt. If I were them, I would opting for having contract with ICANN, irrespective of the budget freeze or budget problems and so on and so forth. Continue my activities as I am going today. But I am not IETF, I am not rear. But we have to raise the question to them and ask them that there are two links. And the link, more important, is freeze of budget. And CWG insists that they want to have a last word on the budget, and if the budget that I can put for the issue is not in agreement for the community, they could freeze that and they could veto that. And that might have some impact on the activity of the two other committees. So I suggest, Alisa, we raise the question with two communities, explaining the situation and consequences of that, of them, and then ask them. If they opt for the ICANN, we put it in our report that we raise the question and reply that they want to remain with ICANN. If it is PTI, they reply with PTI, and they accept that they would follow any consequence of being with PTI if the budget of the PTI due to the community involvement or community invoke is freeze or is vetoed or is rejected. So this should be quite clear. I suggest that we raise the question and not give it a simple answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I think the issue is that, as Alan was saying, is that both of the communities are very clear that they will continue to contract with ICANN. That is, I think they have already made this decision and said so publicly, that they intend to continue contracting with ICANN. So I'm not sure that there's a question to ask because they've already said that.
Yes, if they said that, so there is no question. We in the ICG report mentioned that with respect to the statement of the CWG, the investigation or the information received by these from this community indicate that they want to remain with ICANN. Full stop. That's all. And nothing else.
Okay. Okay. So I think we are clear on what the situation is. The question is just, do we need to write this down, or is it already, you know, is it clear from the reading of the proposals? My sense, honestly, is that it wouldn't hurt for the ICG to include a little bit of text highlighting this in our ICG report section, just so that it's crystal clear for everyone. But people seem to have different opinions about this. So, Mohammed, go ahead. Mohammed, if you are speaking, we can't hear you. Maybe we will go to Caboose, and Mohammed, we can work on your audio because we still can't hear you. So go ahead, Caboose.
Yeah. If the question is clear, I suggest that be documented to be formally in the report of the ICG to NTIA, that this question was raised and the answer is they want to remain with ICANN and it is well documented and well written without saying that it is clear for us. It should be clear for everybody in a written manner. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mohammed, can we try you again? Okay, maybe that's still not working. Let's try Xiaodong.
This is Xiaodong speaking. I think when we get the proposal from the community, because you know there's the PDI proposal is not ready for in the proposals. So it seems that they have some agreement to have the contact with ICANN, but if you can check with them, if it's okay for them to move their operation to PTI, we can just confirm with that, which is better. I think it's like we don't need to make the various things be complicated and ask them to have a subcontract or not. So if we can just confirm with the community, if we want to run that by PTI, it should be better.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I think, again, what we're hearing from the people who are in those communities is that they have confirmed that already, at least from Yari and Alan, as far as I could tell, but maybe they can get in the queue to respond. Mary, go ahead. Mary, did we have you in the queue?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello? Okay. As I said in the chat, the numbering community, or IETF, they have made it clear that they want to continue relationship and contracts with ICANN. I think we should note it, and also note that ICANN is up to ICANN to now incorporate whatever services that PPI should be rendering to the numbering and the protocol community. In the contract that ICANN is going to enter into with PPI, ICANN is representing NTIA now, and NTIA does mention it in their contract with ICANN. So in that wise, I think it's very, very clear, and it's very simple as I understand it. Maybe I'm wrong, but ICANN will incorporate whatever services PTI indirectly will be rendering to these other two communities. So I think you should just note that part. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Yes, the third reason that IETF and numbering, they opted for ICANN, because there is another situation that we should look at. It is in the proposal of CWG. If by one or other reasons PTI doesn't work, they will dissolve the contract with PTI and go to the external. Therefore, in order to have a stable situation, it is preferable and the right decision that they remain with ICANN, and we should document it as such. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. So I think we have maybe two courses of action. One is to look at the text that we have in the ICG report, see if this is documented there. I don't think it is, and possibly put in some words to make sure that this is clear in the ICG report. Then I think this, on this topic of whether we need to confirm anything in the with the communities, I would suggest that we take that to our mailing list to decide. It sounds like the people from the communities feel strongly that they have a firm position. Some other folks may be not quite clear on it, but I think we can continue to discuss that on the mailing list, and it need not be a blocking issue for going forward with the proposal and the public comment period. So that's my suggestion of what we should do with this one. And with that, I think we can move on. And I think on compatibility, those were the two that really, the two topics that jumped out at me as far as warranting some discussion. Are there other topics that people who did the assessments want to raise specifically about the compatibility of the proposals? We will then move on to accountability next. But any other topics on compatibility and interoperability?
Alyssa, if I could?
Yes, go ahead, Joe.
It's just a question of, as we talked about whether we can determine whether something is compatible without one of the proposals being complete, and I don't think we need to discuss this now, but we should just find some agreement on what is the language we use to describe that concept. Thanks.
Good point, Joe. Noted. I mean, I think essentially what we can say, and I think we're about to talk about this during the accountability section, is that, we present our assessment and acknowledge the fact that we will reevaluate after the accountability pieces have been completed in the CCWG. And that means, if we don't just reassess the accountability piece, we can reassess everything in light of the work that we expect to be completed.
I guess for me, the reason I wanted to go back to specify the language is when you indicate a proposal is incomplete, it makes it sound like it didn't fill in one of the elements. They filled in the elements correctly. They can't agree that they're final because they have an external dependency. So I think we just have to be very careful, and I think there's nuance in the language which needs to be addressed.
Got it. Understood. Anything else on accountability? On compatibility. Okay, let's move on then to accountability. So here in accountability, there were a few different topics raised. I think the one that got the most attention was the fact that there are dependencies on the work of the CCWG. I think we have a well-documented plan as to how these will be handled. We await just to recap what the plan is. When we put the transition proposal out for public comment, we will make it very clear that there's a parallel process that is developing the accountability mechanisms in the CCWG and that there are dependencies between the NAMES proposal and the outcome of CCWG Workstream 1. We will point people to the public comment process that is to occur on the accountability side to make sure that everyone understands what it is and that it's available to them. Once the CCWG work has concluded and the final accountability proposal has been sent to the SOs and ACs for approval, we will seek confirmation from the CWG that all of their requirements have been met. And at that point, we, depending on what they say back to us, we can make our final determination about accountability, but we can't really do it before then for the NAMES piece because we are awaiting the CCWG. So that's the plan. I think, people kind of highlighted that there's the dependency, but we do have a plan for how we will assess later. So, Caboose, go ahead.
Yes.
you know, after the BA, the CCWG is making a total review. We have finished almost last night and freeze the document what is related to the community empowerment. With respect to the community mechanism, whether we take single membership or multiple membership or designator or quasi-designator or voluntary designator is not yet clear. We're waiting for Paris meeting on 17 and 18 of July. With respect to the IPR, independent review panel or process, that also is still waiting. So I don't think that more than some discussions, we could have a clear idea until and unless this meeting in Paris is finished and the issue goes to the final report, which should be published at the beginning of August. By 28 or 29 of July, we would have a clear idea what option we take. Apart from all of this, they are also thinking some sort of the community council. There is another idea came in. So there is a lot of idea, but none of them has been decided, and all of them is on the table. We have every day two or three calls, every day. And we're working very, very hard, but I don't think that at this stage ICG would be in a position to make any decisions with respect to the accountability. Unless, if you have any questions that you believe it merit to be answered, I and few other people that going to the CCWG in Paris will raise those questions and come back to you at your next call. To the understanding that I have from ICG, I have raised whatever question I should have been raised, and similarly, Kit has done that. But if you have further questions that you would like to answer, to be answered, please raise it. We will discuss it on Friday and Saturday in Paris. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavos, for the update. Russ Mundy.
Thanks, Elisa. Russ Mundy here. I wanted to thank Joe for going through the proposal and supplementing what I sent to the list earlier as the synopsis of the pieces that were in the front part of the CWG proposal that identified the set of things throughout the proposal that were identified as being dependent upon the output of the CCWG. I read through Joe's, I read through, again, the proposal, and I am comfortable with the fact that those summary points of those seven items do capture what is in spread throughout the CWG proposal. But I did want to ask if anyone else on the ICG had concerns as to whether or not the summary points accurately reflected the information in the rest of the proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ. That's a good question. And thank you, Joe, for doing that work. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I would agree that I don't think I see major concerns, although there were some things like the dependency that the NAMES community found related to some operations that might occur over time. So it was not really related to transition, but how something in the future may affect current operations. And this is where I think we have to be a little careful, because some of these dependencies may not be related to structural elements of the transition. They could equally be problematic today. So, you know, and they're highlighted because it was a very complete effort by the NAMES proposal. So I'm not sure that those few that might be outliers are something we need to be concerned about, because I think they may be beyond the space of consideration for the transition, so I would come down in the same place as Russ.
Thank you, Joe. So, seeing no further hands, I think again we can, we, you know, we need to take all of the assessments that were done and kind of consolidate them into some text that we add to the ICG report about accountability, because right now there isn't any text in the ICG report about accountability. There's just a placeholder, and so I think we can just highlight this topic in that section, and that will be the course of action for this topic. I think for the does anyone else have things to say about this, the dependency topic? Go ahead, Joe.
I guess, Alyssa, assuming we're, based on the timeline that Caboose provided, which I think is the most current that we've seen, assuming we may go out for a comment process before we get a finalization, do we make any statement related to if all elements of the proposal are accepted, we believe the proposal to be compatible or something of that nature? I don't know if that's speculative, because otherwise we're giving people a document that I think may confuse them as to what we're asking them to do with it. So I guess I want to understand how we're approaching the fact that we have to caveat the lack of finality, but we're asking people to comment. So is the comment suggestion, assume everything is true. If there's a problem, we will come back to you, or something of that nature?
Yes, Joe. I think, and I think there is actually some of the people who wrote assessments actually wrote them exactly that way, which is to say they said, assuming that all of the CWG requirements are met by the CCWG, then we consider that this combined proposal provides the necessary accountability mechanisms for the transition to go forward. If that doesn't happen, then we will reevaluate, are the words that we need to add. But I think we can certainly write that up in our report that way. I see no problem with that. Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, Alyssa. I have carefully studied CWG requirements. I'm sure other people, Martin, Milton, and others, they have done so. If all those requirements are met and properly addressed by CCWG, there would be no difficulty as far as ICG is concerned in relation to the transition. But we have to wait. As I mentioned, there is some sort of difficulty at the moment whether we be able in CCWG to properly address that. But if we put our comment on the condition that, provided that all those requirements are met by CCWG, I could declare that ICG would have no problem to indicate that there would be no transition problem as far as we see from the document. Whether something happened in practice, that I don't know. But from the theoretical point of view, that is sufficient, provided that they are met. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I think that's a good summary of where we are. So, seeing no further hands on this topic of the dependencies, the other one, there was one more that I wanted to just highlight that came out in the assessments, which was this point about the arrangements with the root zone maintainer, and you know, the fact that there's still details to be worked out about how the root zone maintainer will interact, or what arrangements there will be in place between it and the PTI and ICANN potentially. Russ Mundy has provided text that we will look at in the next agenda item on this topic, and so I think we are covered as far as that topic goes. But Lynn did raise it in her assessment, and so I just wanted to raise that to see if there was any further discussion that people thought was necessary about that issue. Go ahead, Caboose.
Yes, you mentioned that these are the issues that Rasmundi has addressed, because in the CWG there are several questions raised and the answer is not given. So perhaps maybe Russ has already studied that, and we should reply to that, for instance, whether the route maintenance, the contract will be continued with NTIA or would not be continued. And so there are many questions raised in various parts relating to the route zone maintainers and software and so on and so forth. These questions have not been answered by CWG, but raised the question. So someone should answer, and in fact it has some impact on our views or our, final decision. So if Russ has already studied that, I keep quiet and listening to his intervention and his outcome. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, well, when we go to the next agenda item and we're actually looking at the text that he provided, maybe we can have that discussion in more detail, but I think he's covered it well, so. Okay. So any other topics on the accountability front before we move on to workability? Go ahead, Mary. Mary, it looks like you're muted.
Hello, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you all hear me? Okay. I wanted to draw us back to the point raised by Carlos and what conclusions are we drawing on completeness and non-completeness of the CWG proposal. I am worried that if we say there are dependencies, there may be new people, new stakeholders that may just be reading our proposal and we don't have had the insight into what happened, you know, all those proposals. And most time people complain that the volume of material to be read so much that they can't follow. So if we put up our comment with that caveat, we will not be confusing some people, the public, and those that are only uninformed about the processes. So I think we should have a rethink of both our timeline and our wording of the public comment. I think it would be better for us to draw a conclusion on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. So I would certainly appreciate other people's thoughts on this. I will say that if we don't go to public comment until after the CCWG proposal is finalized, then we are talking about, probably an entire ICANN meeting cycle of delay. And I see, I guess, some folks had difficulty hearing Mary. I had a little difficulty too. So I will try to summarize, which is that what I think Mary was saying is that she's concerned that if we put the transition proposal out for public comment before the CCWG work is finalized or while it is also being finalized and we talk about the dependencies between the two processes and so forth, that it will be confusing for stakeholders who are new to the process, who maybe haven't been following along the entire time. And as a result, we should maybe rethink our timeline. That's what I heard Mary say. She can get on and correct if that was wrong. So my concern there is that the, you know, the way that the processes are going forward now is that they are really quite parallel, and they are envisioned to end at the same time. And so if we take all the time between now and Dublin, and which is, you know, a solid, what is it, 3-4 months, and we shift that to after Dublin, then we are introducing a solid 3 to 4 month delay. And that's true for, you know, the response that we sent to NTIA about how much time we thought we were going to take and their planning. And it's true for, you know, everyone else who we've said we were going to try to wrap up in the next few months. So I would have a lot of concern about shifting the timeline now. And I also think that, as you know, there's a lot of aspects of this process that are complicated, not just this. And so there's a lot of explaining that we have to do. We can do that in the proposal itself. We can do it on the public comment website. We are planning these webinars to happen. We can do it there. We can put a lot of resources into explaining this so that new stakeholders understand what is being asked of them. So that's my view. I have a little bit of a cue. So go ahead, Joe.
Thanks, Alyssa. I just wanted to point out that in the executive summary draft, we've been popping back and forth. I tried a shot of some of that language so we could circulate that after the call and people could work on that, because I think it may help clarify some of the concerns. And I would support the idea that we cannot afford to take the time, but we have to be very clear so that people are understanding what they're getting, what they're being asked to review, and what the consequences are if that changes.
Thanks, Joe. Caboose.
Alyssa, I don't think it's a matter of weeks, it's a matter of days. By end of July, CCWG situation is quite clear. So I don't think that we need to decide anything before that time. We maintain our timeline and we wait. If there is a little bit of adjustment, little bit, few days, we will do that. But otherwise, we maintain the timeline that we had before. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. I think Mary's suggestion was actually to wait until after CCWG is concluded with concluded Workstream 1, which is, I think, not planned for a few months. But maybe I misunderstood, possibly. So, Joe, are you back in the queue? Or your hand is still up? Okay. So, I mean, just kind of looking in the chat a little bit, I think where most of the group is that we should proceed as planned. But, you know, appreciate you, Mary, raising this concern, and maybe we can really turn a lot of our focus to making the whole thing very clear to newcomers. I think we should definitely keep that in mind, as Joe said. So at this point, are there other topics related to the accountability assessment that people want to raise? I realize that, I don't know if people read Milton's assessment. He's not on the call. He had, a sort of point related to the trademark and accountability. I think that is in hand, but if there are any other topics about accountability, please raise them now. Okay, so I think for the accountability section, the plan would be to take the text that the various assessors wrote and try to synthesize it into some paragraphs that we can put into the ICG report. And when we go to the next agenda topic, I might ask for a volunteer to do that from the team of folks who did assessments. But that's I think, the plan for accountability. So if we move on to workability. In workability, the sort of top-level summary was that people – The transition proposal may not be the most elegant document you've ever read, but it does seem that together the proposal components are workable. But I'd like to spend a little bit of time, maybe first on the point that Narelle raised about the CCTLDs. Is Narelle on the call? She is not. It looks like she is not. So do we have any? Well, I guess we have Mary at least. We're missing our CC contingent a little bit, which is unfortunate. But I'll just raise it, and if folks have thoughts, please share them, and if not, we can defer to the list. But Narelle had raised this question about whether the text in the NAMES proposal as regards to the CCTLDs raises an issue of incompatibility with the NTIA criteria because it, invokes the idea that governments would manage their own CCTLDs. And I just wanted to get some reactions to that because it didn't come up in our assessment of the NAMES proposal earlier. So any thoughts about that point that Narelle made? Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, I actually don't see it as an incompatibility. I think what Narelle is quoting there is a really thin the view, if you will, of government's roles and responsibilities as it related to a whole host of internet governance matters. But the primary notion of sovereignty and that each nation is responsible for things within its own border. I could dig up the specific language and put something on the list if that would help, but I actually don't see it as an incompatibility myself.
Thanks, Lynn. I do think since Narelle is not on the call, that would be helpful if you don't mind responding on the list to that point specifically. Russ Mundy, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. This is Russ Mundy. I don't believe it is an incompatibility because the issue of how the CCs will interact and continue to interact in the future is probably best covered, and I've been trying to remember the short abbreviate, but it was actually raised in the NAMES proposal the update to how the CC world will be addressed, and it is currently awaiting action as far as accepting the output of that work group by the ICANN board. And in my reading of the NAMES proposal, that was the appropriate addressing and handling of the CC issue rather than describing it as an incompatibility. It's just not as clear as it should be, and the ICANN board needs to act on it as the ESSAC report and the NAMES report noted. Thank you.
Thank you, Russ. Joe, go ahead.
I also don't see this as an incompatibility. There's a difference between government participating as a stakeholder and government having an exclusive role. And if there's a role, some domain names will be run by private sector organizations, and that's part of the mix. So it doesn't seem to be an incompatibility as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, thank you. So I think the general feeling is that this is not an issue as regards the NTIA criteria, and Lynn has taken the action to send some text to the or send a response to the list to make that clear in response to Narelle's assessment. Are there other workability topics that we should discuss? I didn't see too many. Milton and Paul had an exchange on the list, which I didn't think there was more to discuss, but please get in the queue if there are other workability topics you would like to discuss. Go ahead, Joe.
Alyssa, this was a topic I had raised at the actual meeting when we discussed the proposal from the RIRs, and it had to do with the ability to determine that they would switch operators because of a dissatisfaction or a breach of some kind
by the operator, which is perfectly understandable and legitimate. But the way it seemed to be drafted was that each of the RIRs retained the ability to do that independently, which then might lead to multiple operators. And my question is just a question of, do we need to consider that from a workability perspective, because would multiple operators increase complexity and lead to a potential for discontinuity or fragmentation?
Thanks, Joe. So just to be clear, your concern is that one of the RIRs could choose a different numbering operator than the other four?
It seems possible under the contract. I could not imagine that would be a likely scenario, but I don't know. It is not an impossible scenario under what I understand to be the terms, because these are rights to the individual RIRs, not a right that can only be collectively exerted by the group. If I'm mistaken by that, then I'm happy to be corrected.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Maybe Alan could get in the queue as a respondent. But first I have Cavus.
Yes, there is a point in the report of CWG which we could take it as workability, and that is the following. The activities of PTI will be monitored by customer service component or committee. If there is a difficulty, they will escalate it to the IPR. But coming to the CC, the CCTLD, they said that the IPR would not be dealing with that matter, and that is to the CCTLD people, whether they are member of the ICANN or not member of the ICANN, to go ahead providing a particular way how to resolve the issue which could not be resolved up to that date, neither by the customer service committee, nor by the IPR, nor by any other thing. So it is clearly mentioned that they do not suggest that IPR or independent review panel take care of the issue of the CCTLD. So that is an issue that might have some connection with the workability, and it is clearly mentioned and documented in the CWG. Thank you.
Okay, so you're basically just saying it could have been an issue, but it's because it's documented, we don't need to raise it as a workability issue.
Yes, it is documented, yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Alan, go ahead.
Hi, Alan Barris. There's no intent for different RIRs to choose different IANA numbering operators. I don't know how that could even work. So if it appears from the draft SLA or draft contract that that's a possibility, I'd characterize it as a bug in the draft, and we should look at it and fix that. So just to repeat, there's no intent, and I don't think it could work to have different RIRs choose different IANA numbering operators.
Joe, does that relieve your concerns, or do you need further confirmation of that?
Oh, well, we can take that offline, and I highlight where in the text that might be a problem. The draft kind of framework of the SLA just came out, so I'll look at that. But, you know, part of the question was whether the NRO should do that rather than the individual RIRs, which then would solve the problem. But I'm fine that it's not the intent, and we'll just work around the details.
Okay, thank you. Any other workability topics? Xiaodong, go ahead.
This is Xiaodong speaking. I just give some input about the workability, but I didn't see my input in the metrics.
Oh, Okay, let's see what happens there. Well, it's possible that it got left out because the matrix was put together in a hurry. But if there are issues that you raised in your assessment that you want to discuss, then you know, please raise them. Otherwise, we can just make sure to get your text added to the matrix. Was there something specific that you thought we should talk about?
I want to make for discussion. I did just to make sure that the input is out there.
Okay, noted. Thank you, and apologies for that. Joe, are you in the queue again?
Yes, thanks. It's just that of all the communities, obviously, the workability of the NAMES community proposal is the one that has the greatest challenge because almost every other, the other two communities are really dealing with established processes that are merely transitioning. They're not really creating much of anything new. There might be a new element that they've memorialized, terms that existed in less formal fashion in an SLA or something like that. But the NAMES community really is the one who is looking at new mechanisms altogether, and they have in their documentation provided what scenario analysis they can, including from Sidley on some of the legal scenario analysis. Perhaps the only comment we should make as a result of that community is any changes to what they have done should be tested as to workability in an extremely thorough fashion, because that would help us take less time to review new things that come to us if they do. It's you know, it might not be fair to highlight one community over the others, but there's one community that hasn't finalized its proposal, and that community is the community that has the greatest number of new elements on the table for which we have some workability but not exhaustive finality as to them. I think they've done what they can, so I'll accept that if nothing changes, they've provided enough. But that was the community that, from a general business perspective, created the largest concern, just because these are new things that we may not have been able to well forecast all the wrenches that could be thrown in the works.
Thanks, Joe. And I think there's good words in your assessment, or one of them. I kind of read them all at the same time, but there's good words that we can take into the report that sort of explain that, I think, and we can certainly say that, you know, we will reevaluate workability after the CCWG workstream has produced its draft. So point taken on that. Mary, go ahead.
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hear me? Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Mary.
Okay, if you can hear me, I don't know whether the IPR of the naming and IPR of the CRIP proposal, whether there's an issue of workability, because there's a review and a review of the IANA function, whether CG will look at it, how it will how it could work out more smoother, because while a naming community will be reviewing, the numbering community will be reviewing as well. I consider it that it will be a lot of burden on if the PTI is created, maybe a lot of burden on the INR function of CRETO, since we have the CSC, the IFR, the SIFR, and all those reviews, including the CRIPS review. Is there any way we could look at it that it could be a workability issue? Did you get that?
Yes, thank you. I think maybe just to summarize back, the concern is that with the multiplicity of performance reviews that might be conducted on the PTI after the transition, that those might place a significant burden on the PTI because there are multiple different reviews being conducted by different communities. Is that approximately what you said?
Can it be considered as a workability issue?
So I think that's a good question, and I will note that the IETF also has a performance review process that it already engages in and will continue to engage in with its corner of IANA. So I think that's a good question because in a sense, I think IANA has already been, you know, a party to a multiplicity of performance reviews from the different communities. The IETF has already been doing them. I think there's already some performance reviews that happen from the name side. At least I've seen the numbers published in terms of how they perform. And so the question is whether adding these more reviews create a workability issue. So I think that's a good question for the group if people want to chime in on that. I have next in the queue, Cavus.
There's no workability problems. Many new entity has been proposed to be created. PTI, Board of PTI, CSC, IPR, and so on and so forth. All of these things are new, and there are relations between that. And in addition to that, the community empowerment and the community mechanism that may stop. For instance, if the community decide to recall the entire board member, it have impact on the workability and so on and so forth. So we should table something that because of the multiplicity of the entities has been created and because of the interrelation with all of these entities and because of the community empowerment and because of the community mechanism, there might be some workability problem, in particular at the beginning of the process, until the time that process will be put in its place. It is a transient arrangement, so we should really mention that it is not possible for the ICG at this stage with certainty to talk that there is no workability problem. There would be because of these multiple things and because of this empowerment and so on and so forth. They are empowered to remove one board member. They are empowered to veto the budget. They are empowered to veto the strategic plan. They are empowered to change the bylaw. They are empowered to remove the entire board. So they are all elements that have impact on the workability. So we have to think it over, and we have to put down some text together and address that issue, that it is impossible for ICG to, at this stage, with certitude, saying that there would be no workability problem. There would be. To what degree, how long, we don't know. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Jean-Jacques, go ahead.
Thank you, Elisa. This is Jean-Jacques. I get Cavus's points. However, I think that the point made by Mary is important. simply I have some doubts as to where and in what form we can attract the attention of the powers that be in Washington or in the ICANN board to the fact that at a certain point there might be a crunch because of the culture of multiple and ceaseless review mechanisms which have been increasing within ICANN. So I think it's more in relation with ICANN than really independently for the IANA function. I'm afraid I'm not making this perfectly clear, and for instance, I'm not in a position to suggest right away a few lines to draw people's attention to that, but I'm just trying to express it as a continuation of Mary's concern. ICANN certainly has entered over the past 3-4 years into a cycle of increased and ever more complex reviews of itself. So it's simply a question of allocating the proper resources, and in that sense, it may lead to a crunch. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Russ Mundy, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. Russ Mundy here. I just wanted to reinforce what a couple of the other folks have said, that it could very well become a workability issue in terms of, in particular, the workload for the current staff that's in place, and it's potentially it might result in a need for increased staff. That's I would say that is the kind of thing that is an implementation detail, but it might be worth noting something of that. I can say with certainty that the ESSAC as an advisory committee, it's very common for us to be in a position where we don't have enough resources to be able to react to and respond and to answer or act on things that people send to us. So I'm in support of what the last couple folks have said, but I'm not sure how we ought to say something about it in the report. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think, first I should say, we have hit the 90-minute mark, and we only have one interpreter each for Arabic and Chinese, so Arabic and Chinese interpretation will stop now. Unfortunately, we didn't have two for those languages, so people need to rejoin a different language bridge or the English bridge if you were listening to Arabic and Chinese. Apologies for that. I think what we need to do with workability is try to come up with some text for the report that synthesizes the conversation that we just had and a lot of what was written in the assessments to essentially say that, you know, at present it looks workable to us, and then highlight some of the challenging parts that may arise as the whole proposal gets implemented. I think that's probably the best that we can do. So that would be my proposal for going forward. And seeing no hands go up, I assume that we can go forward with that plan. So I think we have concluded the combined proposal assessment, and we have essentially for all of the issues we discussed, we have either text to go, or we need to develop some text to go in the report, or we have a little bit of further discussion amongst ourselves on the mailing list to be had. But we have resolved all the topics that we needed to resolve. So I think we should move on to our next topic, which is highly related, which is the ICG report text. So let's take a look at the latest version. Okay. So which version are we looking at, Jennifer? Can we look at the V4?
Hi, everyone. This is Jennifer. Yes, we can look at V4. I'll change that right now.
Thanks. Very large document, doesn't it? It takes a long time to upload.
Yes, apologies. This is the one that Yari sent out most recently.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And this is Jean-Jacques. Whilst this is being uploaded, just a quick comment on the last item on the agenda just before this one. I just put in the chat a little suggestion about what we could do about workability. That's all.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, so the document that we are looking at is the current draft of the proposal, and if we each have scroll control, I guess. Is that how it works? So right now the proposal has 5 sections. It has an executive summary section, it has the ICG report, and then it has each of the 3 constituent proposals from the operational communities. We scroll down to the executive summary is currently blank. needs to be filled in, and we will come back to that topic after. I'm just going to kind of give an overview of what is in the ICG report, and then we can talk about what we should do for executive summary. So in the ICG report right now, there's a brief introduction. We have a brief process summary with pointers to more information about the process that's as we discussed at the face-to-face meeting. Then we have a section that, again, briefly summarizes each of the 3 proposal components. So that's section 3, and all of that text is taken, I think, almost there's some liberties taken with the summarizing, but it's very much based on the abstracts of the proposals themselves. And then section 4 is our ICG assessment, and it is composed of a number of parts. So the first part is derived from our individual assessments that we did on each of the proposals as regards to the community processes. So if you remember, when we did all of the individual community proposal assessments, we looked at whether their processes were open and inclusive, and if they had received any process complaints, and did they handle them, and did they achieve consensus by their own definition. So this section has one subsection each for each proposal that talks about that. And this is also the place where, to the extent that there were some statistics available about the processes and how many people participated and so forth, this is the place where those statistics are to, again, kind of build a public record in defense of the proposal and reinforce the point that the processes were open and inclusive. So that is Section 3A. Section 3B talks about the completeness and clarity. So this was the other step that we went through with the individual proposals where we, tried to evaluate whether they were complete and clear. I know that some people want to talk about this question of them, of calling the names proposal incomplete, so we can talk about that as a substantive issue, but just want to kind of go over all of the text first. And then section 3C is where we have the combined proposal assessment. So this has some text in it already about the IANA trademark and domain name issue, because we had we've already written back and forth with the communities, and there was text that I could pull for that. But this is the place where we will need to essentially synthesize the discussion that we just had and the assessments that came in over the last 2 days and produce the text about accountability and workability that we've just been discussing. And then the final, not the final section, but the final subsection of Section 3 is where we present our explanation of how we think the proposal meets the NTIA criteria. And that, again, includes a lot of text from the various assessment documents. It will include the text that Russ Mundy provided about the Root Zone Maintainer as well. And then there are two sections at the end that haven't been filled in yet. One is the listing of the implementation items that need to be completed. And then I think at some previous point someone had added in a next step section, which I wasn't quite clear on what was supposed to be in there, but I left it because someone had added it previously. So that is the sum total of what is currently envisioned to be in this ICG report. We will need more text to be created based on the discussion that we just had, so I will shortly ask for or try to pin someone down to write that text. But otherwise, I would like to just hear from people if they feel comfortable about the direction in which this is going, if there are other whole sections that they think are needed, or you know, substantive topics that that aren't there that we need to have added into this, then I'd like to know that now, and then we can talk a little bit about some of the detailed issues after that. Alan Barrett, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. I'm quite comfortable with the overall direction, but I think there are some extra items that should be added. What comes to mind is an explanation or clarification of points where there might be perceived incompatibilities. We've looked at several cases where we've had to ask the communities for more details. And so in any of those cases, I think the final report would benefit from a summary of what we've done. So, for example, just to pick on one thing, the names community expects that a PTI will be created and that ICANN will contract with PTI, whereas the numbers and protocol parameters envisage that they'll contract with ICANN. I think the ICG report should say something about this, and that it's not incompatible because we can do them both simultaneously. All that is needed is that ICANN subcontracts to PTI. That's not the only case. I'm sure there are other cases as well where clarification could be added.
Thank you, Alan. That's a good suggestion. I mean, we do have the section about compatibility, so that's where I would suggest what we need to certainly add the piece that we discussed today to that section. So seeing no further hands in terms of overall issues. Oh, Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
Where is Lorraine? And the fact that we are putting in summaries and makes it easier for the public to read. But I have the section is now O36. The O36, I think it's 917, where we drew a conclusion on parameter submission of proposals.
Mary, I think we're having a little trouble hearing you. Could you speak up or get closer to your microphone? That's better.
Can you hear me better? Okay, that's better. Okay, all right. Now, I said that I am happy with the structure, the way it's structured, and it flows very well. I just want to raise a point in the assessment section. The section, when we finish with the name section and the number section, when we got to the protocol parameter, paragraph 17, the last sentence says the I-Plan working group and the ICG both considered process concerns that the ICG received and concluded that the I-Plan process was open and inclusive. So we didn't draw such conclusions in the other two proposals. Is there any reason why we didn't do that?
That's a good point, Mary. I feel like there had been text in the other sections about that, but maybe it got removed in the editing process. In general, because this is the report of the ICG, I think maybe we need not kind of restate in each section what the ICG concluded, because the whole thing is essentially what the ICG concluded. So maybe the simplest thing to do would be to just remove that mention of the ICG's conclusion, because the whole, you know, all of the text reflects the ICG's conclusion. Would that resolve the issue?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Russ Mundy.
Thanks, Alyssa. This is Russ Mundy. I wanted to ask one question about I did find the acronym, looked it up while I was away, a framework of interpretation, which was the effort that was put forth by CCNSO and a number of other committees that is basically an update, I believe, on how the CC realm of the TLD for the root zone will be handled and so forth. And do we want to note anything in the ICG report with respect to that issue? I don't think that it's currently mentioned, and in particular, since Norella had brought up the issue of CCs, perhaps there should be something said. It is included in the ESAC endorsement or approval of the CWG report. Thank you.
Thanks, Russ. Can you just maybe restate what you think the specific point is that needs or may need to be made?
Well, I think that there may be concern that the CCTLD interactions with the ICANN PTI structure aren't as clear as they could be, and I think that the framework of interpretation working group's final report helps clarify that, but the ICANN board has not yet accepted that. So whether or not the ICG believes that a statement about that is necessary or appropriate to show a broader incorporation of views relative to the CCTLDs is needed. Whether or not we should say anything about that aspect.
Okay, thank you. I would welcome other people's opinions on that, since it's not really something we've discussed too much as the ICG. Maybe, Russ, if you could formulate that as a question to the mailing list, that would help.
I will do that. Yeah, thank you. And especially since a bunch of our names people just couldn't make the call today. We'll
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So I'm cognizant that we have a few kind of logistical things we need to discuss, and we only have 12 minutes left on the call. So what I would ask is that if people have detailed edits to this existing text, that you please send them to the list, let's say by, what's today, Wednesday, I would say no later than Sunday 2359 UTC, and we can put this, I can put this to the mailing list as well, because we will then have only about a week before our next call, and we need to iterate on this text and come to consensus on it in very short order. So I would ask that now that I know that there's been a lot of text thrown at you and that people have been doing the assessments, but now that the assessment part is essentially completed, if you can turn your attention to this text and see if you're comfortable with it and if you have edits to suggest, that would be very helpful. Manal, go ahead.
Thanks, Alyssa. Just before we conclude, can I ask very quickly what we intend to put in the section 6, next step, and also implementation? I mean, just the empty sections, just to get a sense of what we need to put here to start drafting. Thank you.
Thank you, Manal. That was actually going to be my next topic, which is that we also have placeholders for things that need to get filled in. And good that you're in the queue, Manal, because I think I tried to volunteer you on your behalf to try and get some of those filled in. So personally, I didn't really understand what the next steps section was for. If someone had a thought, then we can keep it. If someone can articulate what that is supposed to be, but otherwise, I would say that one could be deleted. For the others, there are placeholders in the text that need to be completed. The big one is the synthesis of the accountability and workability assessments with the discussion that we had today, to produce some text about accountability and workability, but there are a couple of others as well, including the list of implementation steps and a few other minor things. So I don't know, Manal, if you feel comfortable trying to draft all of those, or if you would like, I can work with you to try and find volunteers to draft some of them or all of them. But would appreciate your thought about if you feel that you can do some pieces of that or all of it or none.
Thanks, Alyssa. I'll give it a try maybe tomorrow, and then I can share something, and then if other colleagues could help with missing text, it would be great.
Okay, thank you very much. And so just, I see that Caboose is
again,
in the queue. So sorry, go ahead.
Hello? I was just here.
Manal, just one second. Manal, did you have another thought?
Yes, I was just going to say that I'm just not clear on parts like the next steps and things like that, but I mean, summarizing what we concluded today and trying to reflect this into the ICG report, this is what I'm going to try to do tomorrow and maybe by Friday. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Manal. I think unless someone is going to offer an idea of what belongs in next steps, I think you can go ahead and delete next steps since it's not clear what would belong in there. But appreciate your willingness to do the other pieces. The other one that is still has kind of a question mark is now that we have this section, and you know, it's not short, but it's not terribly long either. The question has arisen as to whether we need the executive summary, because there's, you know, short summaries of the proposal and the process and so forth now in the ICG report. So if people have opinions of whether we need to keep the executive summary and fill it in, Joe has been working on that, but the question sort of came up as to whether it's really necessary given what we now have. So anyone has a quick thought about that, please get in the queue. Cavus, go ahead.
I wanted to say something else, but you raised this question. I think we discussed this issue at the previous meeting, and I understand that we agreed to have executive summary, and we have agreed to have introduction or background. So this we have already discussed, so why we discuss it again? But I had another question to raise or another comment to make while I have the microphone or whatever you call them. One of the difficulties that CWG and CCWG were faced was the lack of some clarity in the question raised to the community, and they complained that question was not clear or was vague, and they found difficulty to answer. Have we checked that any question with respect to section or section that we are raising are quite clear on the point, or we have not? I'm sorry, I was not following that work. If it has been done, I don't pursue the matter. It has not been done. We should be very careful because we are for the first time doing this, but CWG and CCWG, they have done it before and they face this difficulty. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. We had this for a later agenda item to discuss the questions for public comment. We are clearly not going to get to it today, but we need to have that conversation on the mailing list. So
okay.
Thank you. Thank you for raising that, and we'll take it to the list. Go ahead, Jean-Jacques.
Thank you. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. Yes, I still think that an executive summary would be useful. Why? Because it depends on who will be reading this. And the higher up you go in the administration, meaning the U.S. administration, in the Congress, but also worldwide, it is the most technical people who will be reading everything. With a microscope, you know, checking every word and every sentence. But at another level, more concerned with perhaps governance in a wider sense, I think that it would really be useful to have a summary. I realize it's not easy to do, but typically in a long report like this, with a lot of technical parts, an executive summary would contain a digest of proposals or findings or recommendations. So I know that our work is not mainly turned towards recommendations, but I think that we should boil down the rest to an executive summary of maybe half a page or one page of this format. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Jean-Jacques. I think the message is loud and clear that we should continue on the course that we had decided previously with the executive summary. Joe has some text that he has worked up whenever he feels comfortable with that it's in good shape. Joe, I would ask you to share that on the mailing list. And I think we can conclude this topic for now. So we have Manal will be sending the next update with new text, and people should review the existing text and please send your comments to the list. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, just one clarification. I assume we would be looking for the executive summary to be within the bounds of what is delivered to NTIA so as not necessarily being geared to providing reviewers at the public comment period with some of the context they might need to review. some of that was in what I drafted because what I drafted also had the ability to be used as a cover note. So I would suggest that I will start from scratch after Manal has finished her section. Just this way I can capture all the sections after they're completed. The digest that Jean-Jacques has suggested, making sure that I am not creating an opinion in any way, because, you know, one of the difficulties of a summarization is you choose what to include and not include. And that's one of the concerns I have with the draft. But I will do my best to be as exactingly neutral as possible in the drafting of that summary. But what I may suggest, Alyssa, is to put the letter in the discussion group now for the purposes of people thinking about whether some of this text is useful for a cover note or for a public communication.
That sounds good, Joe. We do have this separate document with the text that is proposed to go on the public comment website. So I would also encourage you to take a look at that as you're thinking about this and see, you know, if you have suggestions for things that you don't end up including in the executive summary but that you think should be incorporated there, that would be very helpful as well. Because we do have that separation in terms of things in the document, and then everything, you know, we can put as much on the public comment website as we want or that we need to for further explanation. So I think we have a plan there. If we could go back and project the agenda for the meeting. I realize we're almost at the top of the hour, but if I hope folks can stay maybe 5 more minutes, we can talk about the one more topic that I think needed. I just wanted to confirm. So we got through topics 1 and 2. Topic number 3. Joe, did you have a hand up on the last topic?
No, sorry, leftover.
Oh, okay. So topic number 3, the public comment period duration. So we have this proposal out for the public comment period to run from July 31 to September 8, which is 40 days. I asked people to send any final objections to that to the mailing list. I didn't see any. So my assumption is that that's what we are driving towards. Obviously, things could change between now and then, but for planning purposes, that's what we are driving towards. Just wanted to give anyone a last opportunity to object, essentially. Okay, fantastic. So with that, just a note in terms of upcoming commitments and schedule. In order for us to get to that public comment period launch on July 31, we really need to have this ICG report text finalized as soon as possible. Our next call is on July 29th. I assume that we won't be able to finalize it until that call. If we could finalize it on the mailing list, that would be great. So we can try to do that. I really encourage everyone to review everything this week if they can, including the new parts that come in from Manal and Joe tomorrow, and expect to iterate on that next week. I realize that it, you know, coincides with the CCWG meeting and also coincides with the IETF meeting. So we will, you know, really try to work it over email and hopefully get, you know, final consensus of the ICG on all of that material by the July, you know, during the July 29 call. Same thing for the public comment website material. So if you haven't looked at that, please take a look. Send your comments to the mailing list. Lynn St. Amour has agreed to shepherd that that document, and so she will be, you know, fielding comments and edits and incorporating them back in. But that really needs to be done on the same time schedule. Part of the issue is that we need to get all of the materials translated. The proposal, the meat of the proposal has already been translated, so we're in pretty good shape. Well, most of it has, so we're in pretty good shape there. But with working with the translators, it's pretty hard to get documents turned around you know, in 24 hours or something. They usually take longer than that, and so the sooner we can conclude, the sooner we can get all of that text off to the translators and have it ready, hopefully for July 31. The other material that you will probably see coming towards you next week is for the webinars that we have scheduled, that we haven't scheduled yet, but that we intend to schedule for the first week of the public comment period. So there will be some visuals for you to review hopefully next week and, you know, get consensus on, and also hopefully on the July 29 call. So I have a little bit of a cue. Go ahead, Caboose.
Yes, just what time is the 29th of July? Is the timing, is it fixed or not?
Oh, I see.
What UTC time?
Secretariat? Do you guys know what time it is? I think it's 5. 5
in the
UTC.
UTC.
Yes, this is Patrick. I can confirm it's 5 a.m. UTC.
Are we...
5 a.m. UTC.
Can we be scheduled for... Are we scheduled for 2 hours?
That is confirmed.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. 5 UTC, yes. Thank you.
Daniel, go ahead.
It would be really helpful if the Secretariat could maintain a list of the current, most recent drafts of all the pieces, both for our document and for the supporting materials, so that one can go to one place and see which ones are the ones that should be reviewed. It's a bit unclear to me, at least. Maybe it's just because I'm Ben. But it would be really nice if there was one clear place where one could find a list of the things that are up for review.
Sure, no problem. I think Secretariat could make one folder in Dropbox and try to keep that up to date with the latest version. Would that work, Jennifer?
Hi, this is Jennifer. Yes, that would work. I will make sure that the latest versions are available on Dropbox, and I will circulate the links for that.
Great, thank you. So with that, I think we will wrap since we are over time. We can take the minutes approval to the list and just do that on the mailing list between now and the next call. So thank you, everyone. Looking forward to your our exchanges over the next week and a half before the next call.